You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus.
You know, he had some issues growing up as a child. He was bullied, if you will, because he was a little different. And he allowed those issues to fester into adulthood, which, you know, many people do the same thing. And so it's very relative how sometimes we allow those issues to carry on into adulthood. But anyway, and so he grows up just really hating Christmas, hating the noise of Christmas. He calls it noise. We call it joyfulness. We call it being happy and all these different things. And so he really is just really out to destroy Christmas. And so this series, we're looking at how we can avoid Grinch-like characteristics, all right, and how we can be more like Christ. And so our focus is not going to be on necessarily how not to be like the Grinch, but be more like Jesus, amen? And so that's going to be our main focus. There's a echo. Echo? 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 There's still an echo. If you could take off the effects off the soundboard, I think that would probably work. All right, so we're looking at how to avoid Grinch-like behavior. And so the title of this one today is Be Generous. Turn to your neighbor and say, be generous. All right, so it's the opposite of being a Grinch, right? It's the opposite of being selfishness. And the whole idea about the Grinch is rooted in selfishness, right? I'm going to ruin your day because I had a bad upbringing, whatever it may be, so I'm going to ruin everybody else's life. It's rooted in selfishness. And so we want to guard against selfishness. We want to guard against Grinch-like behavior. Now, how many guys love being around generous people? Just a few of us. Well, I love being around generous people, right? And you know, my wife and her family, they are the most generous people that I know. And I just love being around them because Christmas time is always wonderful. You know, like whenever we go to her parents' house. Like one time we got some really nice bikes. I'm like, man, these are nice, you know? And but I just love being around generous people. But what I learned is that, what the Bible says, it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? And so as much as I love being around generous people, I love being generous as well because it's a biblical principle. Now, I must also say that the people that I know that have succeeded in life, you know, financially, are the most generous people that I know. You know, I think about business owners, some who donate to Hope Extreme in different places. Their businesses are doing well because they have been very generous. Our brother-in-law, and I mean, they have been very generous to us, Hope Community Church. You know, all of our flooring was given to us at cost, very generous. They didn't even charge labor, but their business is blessed, you know. And so the most blessed people, the most financially well people are those who are generous people. I want to be a generous giver. I want not just for to have more money in my life. I want to be generous because it's a biblical principle. Amen. And so it goes along with Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, where it says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. All right. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. He says, if you give freely, that you're not going to lack as you're giving it freely, that the Lord is going to continue to add to you. You will have what you need when you need it, and the Lord will cause you to abound. But he says on the flip side, another withholds what he should give. In other words, there are people who should give something and they withhold it. He says they will only suffer once. So from this scripture, we kind of learned the key to success in life is learning to be generous and learn to be a generous giver. So what is generosity? I believe we can sum up generosity in this one word, willingness. Willingness. Think about it. Everything that we have, the Lord has given to us. The Lord owns it all. And so whenever we're to be willing, willingness looks like, God, I am willing to give this money. I'm willing to use this resource that you have given me. I'm willing to use my time. I'm willing to use all those things that you have blessed me with for your purpose. I am willing to give it. Because if we have this mindset that, you know, what we have is not really ours to begin with, it's been given to us. You're just called to be a steward over that which has been entrusted to you. It's really God's money. It's really God's children that's in your life. It's really God's house that he has blessed you with. Everything belongs to the Lord. We're just called to be stewards. So that changes our perspective about being generous. Like, well, I'm going to be generous because it's really not even my money anyway. It's God's. And as we freely give, that He will add to us. I truly believe that. My first point I want to bring out this morning is that generosity is evidence of a Christ-like nature. So how do we guard against becoming a Grinch? And how do we become a generous people? First, there must be a change on the inside, right? There must be a change, because before we were in Christ, before we were saved, the Bible says that we were very selfish by nature. Anybody can relate to that you were a selfish person by nature before Christ? I can lift up both hands, both feet, if I could, but I would fall. So you guys, I would not do that. But we were very selfish before Christ. We had this selfish nature that did selfish things. Even if we did give to a charity, it was for selfish reasons. I'm going to give so that people will notice me. I'm going to give so that I can get this feel good. So it's all rooted in selfishness. But we know that as Christians, being generous looks completely different. We're generous as believers because we want to be Christ-like, and we have put off our old nature, as Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 24 says. It says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and in holiness. So we put off our old selfish ways. We put off, like maybe before we were selfish with our money, we were stingy with our money. But with the new nature of Christ, because He has changed us, then therefore His heart becomes our heart. We begin to see people the way that He sees people. And we like, God, I'm going to freely give because that's what You did. Amen. Jesus freely gave His life. In fact, if we were to look at an example of someone who was generous, we look no further than the Son of God. We look no further than Jesus. He laid down His life. He gave everything. Everything that He had, He laid it down for us. He became poor. He left the splendor and the majesty of heaven, and He came to this earth and became poor. He grew up in a stable. In some scriptures, it says He didn't have a place to lay His head. He became poor so that ultimately He would lay down His life so that we can become rich spiritually. It was the greatest gift that anyone has ever given. It was the most selfless gift. It was not rooted in selfishness, not what He can gain. Actually, it is what He can gain. He gained us. Amen. That's also what the scripture says. We're going to look at that in a little bit later. 2 Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich. Another scripture in 1 John chapter 3, 16 says, for by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. So if we were to call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves believers, we know that it starts with a heart change from the inside, that generosity begins with the Lord changing our selfish heart and giving us a new heart, a heart that is like Him. And if we're to be like Him and He gave it all, then we too are to look at the needs of those around us and see what is our part to play. Not to turn a blind eye, not to say, well, I didn't see that homeless person asking for money. Anybody ever did that before? Like, I didn't see him. Oh, we're out of light? Yeah, I didn't see him. He doesn't exist, right? But if we're to be Christ-like and really looking at that and saying, well, Jesus, He gave it all. He didn't hold anything back, but He gave it all. Next, generosity overflows from a cheerful heart. And so we know that it starts being changed from the inside out. But the Lord doesn't want your money if you're going to, like, hold on to it and be grudging about giving your money. All right, let's look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. It says, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Meaning, anybody plant gardens, right? And so if you go out and sow seeds, The amount of seeds that you sow into the ground, that is the amount of fruit or vegetables that you will come up with, right? And so the more you sow, the more that you will gain. Pretty easy concept to understand. He says, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give to the TV evangelist just because he said if you give $1,200 right now that the Lord is going to give you $12,000. I mean, come on now. That's under compulsion. That's not what the scripture says. He says, each one must give as he has desired in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. All right, that we're so enthralled, we're so excited, that God has loved us unconditionally, that God has provided for us throughout the years. God has sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, that we are so excited about that we give cheerfully. Out of the abundance, out of the overflow of joy that is in our hearts, we give unto the Lord. I like what John Piper says regarding this subject. He says, you know, if you write your check to the church and it's a burden, says God does not like that check. Just keep it. Just keep it. And I would have to second that. If it's such a burden for you to give your check to the Lord, we don't want your burden check. We really don't. We want happy checks. You want those checks that, you know, that you are happy to give those checks. You are happy. You are so excited what the Lord has done in your life and in your family. That's the kind of checks that we want to build this church on. Happy checks. Amen. He says, as we give bountifully, that we will also reap bountifully. And we look at just so many different examples in the Bible. One of them is a man named Solomon. He was king. He was David's son. And he says in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 6, it talks a little bit about how generous of a donation, of an offering that Solomon made. It says in verse 6, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, and King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who had assembled before him were before the ark, that is, the ark of the covenant, where the Lord put his name at, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen that they could not even be counted or numbered. He's like, man, I lost track of how much we gave to the Lord because I was just so excited. I was just so enraptured and so captured by how good my God is. I'm just going to keep offering sacrifices. I'm just going to keep giving unto him because he's so worthy. He said, I just lost count of how much I gave. Now, how many of you guys know those people who are like, you know what? You know, 10%, that's all I'm going to give. So if my check is $300, I'll make sure I give $30 and no more, you know, 30.000, right? we keep track. We make sure. Solomon's like, you know what? I'm just so excited what God has done, that he allowed me to build this temple, that he allowed me to be king over Israel, over his chosen people. He said, I'm just going to offer sacrifices out of a cheerful heart. And he didn't even count how much he offered. It says in verse 13 that not only did he offer sacrifices, but that it was accompanied with music. It says, and it was the duty of trumpeters and singers to make themselves heard in unison and in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And so they not only bring this ginormous offering to the Lord. They're singing music. You know, they're playing their tambourine. They're playing cymbals and all these different things. It's done joyfully. It's not a grudge. It's not a burden for Solomon to do this. And as we know, the Lord has truly blessed King Solomon up to a point before he goes off the deep end. because ultimately, we still have a will. We still have to follow the Lord. He says, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. King Solomon just gave a very generous offering. Next thing I would like to say, and maybe my final point, is that generosity is sometimes sacrificial giving. Sometimes it will cost you something. Sometimes you will feel it. Let's look at it in Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4. It says, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly, I tell you, This poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. And this is quite amazing to me, because sometimes we think it's in the dollar amount. You know, we think it's in a certain amount that the Lord is asking of us, but really the Lord is looking at the heart. You know, for it, to put it in a practical application, if we were to take the richest man in the world right now, which is Jeff Bezos, all right, he's the founder of Amazon. So anybody buy off of Amazon in this place? You have contributed to his wealth, all right? You have contributed to his wealth. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. We buy off of Amazon all the time. But let's just say, make a hypothetical example, that Mr. Jeff Bezos, that he gave $236,000 to a charity of his choosing. We would be like, wow, that's a lot of money, right? You know, for that charity, the charity, I'm sure, would be excited, like, wow, this is a lot of money. But to put it in reality and to put it in terms of his net worth, he has $177 billion. All right. So that what that looks like is if my net worth, which is far from that, if I was to give a dollar, that would be equal to his $236,000. So then looking at it like that, like, well, for me to give a dollar really doesn't cost me anything. I can give a dollar to, you know, a person on the side of the street. It doesn't cost anything for me. I don't feel that. I'm not affected by that. Nor would Jeff Bezos be affected by $236,000. That's just a mind-blowing statistic. But do the math. It kind of works out, sort of. Anyway, so we think about this, and so that's what Jesus is saying. He's like, look, the rich, they give out of their abundance, but they don't really even feel it. It's not a heartfelt thing. They're doing it to, a lot of people do it to be noticed. Like, hey, look at me. Look how much I gave. Jesus looks at the heart. He also sees this poor widow. And he says, she has given more than him. Because that's all she had. It cost her everything. That is all she had left to live. And she gave it all to Jesus. And she gave him everything. And that is the gift that Jesus honored, not the gift of the rich man. So now we see it's a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of how much you give. It's a matter of the heart. If you're stingy with your money, keep your money. The Lord doesn't want your money. But if you give out of a grateful heart as unto the Lord and praise unto him, that is the offering that the Lord delights in. Amen. So he says, For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. You know, sometimes it costs you, and it costs you dearly. Reminds me of a story one time. You know, we like to go to El Salvador every year on mission trips. And in 2015, my wife and I and a few elders from the church, we went to this mission trip, and we came across this group, and this church, actually this small church. And they were just getting started as a mountain church. And, you know, they had started in a house and everything. And it was just really beginning to flourish. And the Lord was doing an amazing thing there. Well, they wanted to build another facility, something to you know, bring everybody together. And so the Lord really put upon my wife and I's heart, you know, to give a certain amount. And we were like, whew, I don't know, Lord. This is a big amount, you know, that you're wanting us to give. And you know, at the time we were adopting kids, we were in the process of adopting kids, and so there was a ton of adoption fees left that we had to pay, and so there's a ton of money, and so we're like, you know, managing our money, budgeting our money strictly so that we can get our kids, and the Lord asked us to do this, and I'm like, Lord, this is a difficult thing, but we knew that it was the right thing to do. We knew that the Lord had put it upon our heart to give this donation, so we were obedient, and we gave the donation. And when you know, a couple of months later, you know, if you work in the oil field, you know that it has ups and it has downs, right? Well, it took a plunge in 2015 in October, and, you know, I lost my job. It was a very good paying job. I lost my job. And we were wondering, God, how in the world will we provide? How will we take care of these final expenses that we have for our adoption? What does that look like? God, I know you've called me to adopt these kids. God, we stood on your word. We know, Lord, that you've called us to give that donation a couple of months ago in El Salvador. What does that look like for us? And honestly, I had some other job opportunities doing the same thing that I was doing. A guy says, hey, man, why don't you come work for me? And I could have. I really felt the Lord said, no, lay it down. Lay it down. Commit all your efforts to the church. I'm like, God, but these expenses. He said, but I am your provider. I am Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. And so, long story short, about a year later after we gave that donation, a church friend of ours, she says, you know what? I'm going to help you guys out with the funds that you still have left for adoption. So she throws a benefit dinner on our behalf, raises almost $7,000, and says, here, this is going towards your adoption cost. And we were just floored, and we just couldn't imagine that. And we were just so grateful. And if that was the only thing that happened, that would have been enough. But the Lord is faithful, amen? And the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And the Lord causes you to abound. And so not only did we have adoption expenses, we had to go fly and get our kids, which is pretty much halfway across the world. For my wife and I to fly there a round trip, and for my kids to fly there one way, we're looking at $10,000. That's a big cost. That's a lot of money. It's like, I don't have $10,000 just laying around in my back pocket. I don't, you know. It'd be nice, but I don't. The Lord puts it upon someone else's heart and says, I'm going to write you a check for $10,000 to go get your kids and to bring them back from the Philippines to the United States. And at that moment, whenever we wrote that check in El Salvador, we didn't see God's provision. We didn't see how God was going to make a way, but he made a way. He made a way. And sometimes being generous is sacrificial. It might cost you something. It might cost you something. But if you're willing to be obedient to the Lord, he will cause you to abound. He will cause you to be blessed. And I can say that we have not lacked. Like even though I haven't gotten back into the oil field or anything, we have not lacked. The Lord has provided for us. Amen. He has been faithful. And he is faithful to you. He is faithful to me. And the principles that we find in his word are true. They are yes and amen. That we can build our lives on this. This works. This really works. Whenever he says that he is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, he really means it. Amen. We look at it as it's the Lord's money. It's not my money. It's the Lord's children. It's not my children. It's the Lord's house. It's not my house. Everything that I have, everything that he has given to me, it is his. It belongs to him. I'm just called to be a steward. I'm just called to steward and steward well. If how we handle our money and our time and our resources has everything to do with our perspective of Jesus. Because if we believe that Jesus is Lord of all, then he is Lord over your money. If we believe that Jesus is Lord of all, he is Lord over your time. He is Lord over your resources. If we believe that everything is his, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, then we are just called to be stewards. It is his. It is his stuff. And if we call ourselves Christians to be Christ-like, then that calls us to a level of generosity where our generosity matches the generosity of our Lord and Savior, and that our generosity is not done grudgingly, but is done with a joyful heart, is done unto the Lord out of an overflow of how good he has been to us. God, I give you this offering not because I have to, but because I want to. I love you. I thank you for all that you have done for me. I give you this offering, and I do it with a joyful heart. And so I want to give you, well, first, let me just read a scripture, because Jesus did the same thing. Though he laid down his life, it says he did it with joy. Let's look at it in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He counted it a joy to lay his life down. Why? Because he gains you. He gains me. He gains you. He counted it a joy. Now, if he counted that a joy, how much more should we count it a joy to give our offerings unto the Lord, to give out of an overflow of gratefulness, out of an overflow of just thankfulness to the Lord, out of an overflow of just love for who he is towards us. We give our gifts out of that heart. So I want to give you an opportunity today. It's going to be very different. You have never given an offering like this before, or maybe you have. And we're going to play this song on this video. Now, let me just warn you, it's very upbeat. And it's very active, all right? But I believe that we should be excited whenever we bring our gifts unto the Lord. And as you bring your gifts, you are free to go. And so we're going to end out this way. It's a little bit different. Examine your hearts too before we play this. Examine your hearts and say, you know what, have I been a generous person? Have I been stingy with my money? Have I been holding on to it so tight that I refuse to let it go?
Before we do that, Ted and I have already talked. Whatever we get above this month that we need to exist, we have some friends in El Salvador, and we, if you don't know, the way that we started was through street programs and just growing the church, and we're very different here. And so, welcome to Hope Community Church. But the founding fathers, if you would, of that organization, Don and Terry Triplett, the way that they exist is they have teams that come in from the United States that do street ministry, and then they give that funding that we give them into their ministries, and they reach their country. They're reaching countries, 24 countries, for Jesus through their programs. And because of COVID, they've been unable to have teams for the last 2 years into their country, and they just need, honestly, they need money to exist. And so about 2 weeks ago, they sent an email to all the people that have visited their country, and they are just asking for a gift of, I'm not sure, is it 80,000? I don't know the exact number. And so they just said, guys, they went into their what is that called? Their retirement fund. They went into their retirement fund because they have to pay their staff. And to get paid there, it's not like to get paid here. It's like minimal, just get you some food on the table. For all the people that run the castle, if you've ever been there, and also all their programs that they do throughout their countries, they said, this will get us through to the end of the year. And so whatever we collect above what we need to exist in the month of December through baskets or whatever, we're just going to give over to them. And so we want to let you know that before you dance and jig, that they are the reason that we're here, and the reason why we exist. And so we just want to sow seed and reap that. And I know you're like, really? We just got affected by Ida? We know. But whatever is affected here, they are so much worse. And so we want to bless them. And so whatever you give does that this morning.
Amen. So yeah, just know that we do tithe from here, from Hope Community Church. Yes. We give to missions. But this month, we just want to give above and beyond to this couple.
Yes, so this will be extra, above what we already give to missions.
Amen. And so what I want you to do is we're going to play some music, some really fun music. And if you want to come up here and do a jig as you give unto the Lord. I don't know what that looks like, but it's unto the Lord. Amen. And so be blessed as you give. We're going to play some music.